With our special guest this hour, pharmacist Ben Fuchs, as we talk about your health, criticalhealthnews.com. We'll get right to your calls, but I do want to talk with him about type 2 diabetes, and we'll do that when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast with pharmacist Ben. Ben, let's get back into type 2 diabetes. Oh, and exactly what is it?
It's so tragic, George. 100 million Americans are dealing with it. Either pre-diabetes or diabetes.
How many don't even know they have it?
And then there's the ones that don't even know they have it. And really, it's on a continuum, George, because the official diagnosis for diabetes is a score. So if you had 120 or 125, and that's measured in the amount of glucose that you have per unit of blood, they could say you're a diabetic. But if you're at 124.9999, you're not a diabetic. This is the silliness of diagnostics. So that disease is put on a scale so that we can have diagnoses, and then we could bill insurance companies, and then we could be officially diagnosed as a whatever disease that they want us to be diagnosed as. But it's progressive in the sense that you're it's a road to diabetes, a journey to diabetes. And as you say, people don't even recognize they have it until it's too late. And the reason it's so tragic, George, it causes a leading cause of blindness, a leading cause of amputation, a leading cause of obesity, a leading cause of autoimmunity, a leading cause of all kinds of inflammatory diseases. The reason it's so tragic, George, is because it's a food disease. It's an eating disease. It's a disease of how you process sugar. And unless sugar doesn't get sprinkled on your head, I mean, you're not injecting it, you're eating it. So what we have to do is understand how to work with sugar. And by sugar, I'm talking about bread and starches and potatoes and pasta. And it's not about being a monk. It's not about being an ascetic. It's about resensitizing your sweet button. Have you ever skipped a couple of days where you were sick or whatever, you couldn't have sweets, you couldn't have bread, or you didn't eat for whatever reason, and then a couple of days later, you have the same amount of sweetness that you would have normally have, and all of a sudden it's ridiculously sweet. You've resensitized your sweet taste, and this is what we want to learn to do so that we get the same amount of sweet hit from less sugar. What we have done as a culture is we've done the exact opposite. We've created foods that have more and more and more sugar because our sensitivity has been dumbed down. So what we want to do is we want to learn how to resensitize ourselves to the sweet taste by eating less of it, by taking sweet holidays, and then at the same time, we want to start using nutrients that help our body process sugar. I said earlier, the electrical nutrients, the water-soluble nutrients, I should say, those are the ones that the body uses to process sugar for the most part. So the B vitamins and vitamin C and chromium and vanadium and magnesium, these are nutrients that we lose in our urine the more water we drink. So making sure that you're replacing the B vitamins, vitamin C, the electrolytes, potassium, calcium, sodium, magnesium, on a regular basis throughout the day is so important. There's two ways to do it, through liquid nutritional supplements, which are urgently important, and through vegetables. Vegetables are absolutely amazing. They're like blood sugar control medicine. And for several reasons. First of all,
artichokes are good for you, aren't they?
Artichokes are awesome, and broccoli and cauliflower. I was talking to Tom, your producer, during the break. Who doesn't like broccoli with butter and salt? Steamed broccoli with butter and salt. When you steam a vegetable, George, you release the sugars. They're natural sugars that are locked up in veggies, and when you steam those veggies, you release the sugars. And the combination of sugar and salt and fat is absolutely irresistible to the human taste bud. And that's why people love cinnamon rolls, and that's why people love corn chips. But you know what? That's also why we love cauliflower and broccoli with butter and with salt. So making sure that you reduce your intake of sweets so that you resensitize your sweet taste, making sure that you're using electrical nutrients and replacing them throughout the day, especially if you're going to the bathroom a lot, and especially first thing in the morning, and making sure that you're exploiting or leveraging the power of the veggie. Not only does it have those electrical nutrients, but you'll also get the fiber that has an ability to slow down the release of sugar to help stabilize your blood sugar. And if you fall off the wagon, George, here's a simple little trick for you. If you fall off the wagon and you eat a bunch of pie or you go crazy tomorrow, you're a diabetic or you're afraid you're going to be a diabetic, drinking water dilutes your blood sugar. So just simply drinking a whole bunch of water can be a quick emergency. It's not,
permanent, but it,
what's
it
that?
Helps.
No, not permanent.
Not permanent.
No, just plain water. Of course, you got to make sure you're replacing your nutrients, your electrical nutrients. But drinking water will dilute your blood sugar, and it's a great little tip for diabetics who fall off the wagon.
Okay, let's go back to the phones now. We're going to Panama City Beach, Florida. Nita is with us. Good morning.
Hey, Nita.
Hello. Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello. Yeah, you mentioned something earlier about surgeries and not hacking up our bodies and, you know, that type of thing. What's an option? I had a total knee replacement. They wanted to do both at once, and I only had one done. But when it's gone that far, is it irreversible? Is there anything that can be done? I have the other knee that hasn't been done yet, and I'm putting it off because the one that they did do is I'm not getting the results I expected.
Oh, and yeah, it's a little slow.
Is it too late? It's osteoarthritis, the degenerative on the knees. I mean, is it too late to do anything to make it better?
I can't tell you your particular case because I don't know how degenerated you are. But from a theoretical standpoint, the body is designed to regenerate. When you break a bone, the bone is stronger at the point of the break than it was before it was broken. This is the way of the body. You know, if we burn ourselves, we get a scar. People want to get rid of their scars. I'm in the skin business. People are obsessed with getting rid of scars. Well, a scar is the way the body protects itself, protects an area that it perceives as being vulnerable by putting extra fibers, by putting extra protein. So not only does the body regenerate itself, not only is the body a healing system, but it regenerates vulnerable tissue and vulnerable areas even stronger than it was before. It's like extra regenerating, so that if we're breaking down, something is interfering with that process. And the only thing that can interfere with that process are things that are getting into the blood. As we said before, unless you're an IV drug user and injecting things directly into the blood, the only way things get into the blood is through the digestive system. So it comes down to making sure you're putting the raw materials into the body, number one, that the body needs to rebuild in terms of joints and in terms of the knees. You're talking protein, you're talking fats, essential fatty acids, you're talking your minerals. And most importantly, or at least equally importantly, is not putting the inflammatory substances into the blood. And those are mostly sugar. Those mostly come in through sugar and through processed food. You know, we throw this word around inflammation a lot, but what really inflammation is the body protecting itself. It's a function of the immune system, of the body's protective system. So when we have an inflammatory condition, and that's what it is that slows down the healing process, what we really have is a manifestation of a body protecting itself. So what's the solution? How do you prevent that from occurring? You stop putting the stuff in the body that the body's protecting itself from. And that always is going to come down to foods. Now, of course, building the digestive system is also going to be important. And a lot of the tissue that's involved in, that's associated with the knees and with the joints, the connective tissue is the same kind of tissue that's in the digestive tract. So by using things like cartilage products, glucosamine, hyaluronic acid, you know, you and I have talked about that before, George,
yep.
Silica, these are things that can help build the connective tissue in the digestive tract and at the same time build the connective tissue up in the joints. And when it comes to building connective tissue, don't forget about the importance of vitamin C. It's unspeakably important. Scurvy is a connective tissue degradation disease. Just because you don't have full-blown scurvy where you're hemorrhaging to death doesn't mean you don't have subclinical scurvy, which can manifest as osteoporosis or as arthritis or as joint disease or as connective tissue disease in the digestive tract. So don't forget your vitamin C either.
What do you think of stem cells injected, for example, in Nita's knee?
That might have a beneficial effect, but if Nita continues doing what she's doing, she's going to run into the same problem down the road as well. You can't keep doing the stem cell. So in the short run, stem cells may have some benefits, and I know stem cell technology is an up-and-coming technology. I'm a little suspicious of high-tech kinds of treatments because usually that means really interfacing with the medical model and with insurance companies and high cost, and I'm always looking for simplicity. I'm always looking for the simple ways for us to take care of our health. But in the short run, a stem cell strategy might be effective.
Okay, let's go now to Christina in Portland, Oregon. Hello, Christina. Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Sure
Hi,
thing.
Ben.
Hi, Christina.
Hi. Oh, I will have to tell you, George, my son and I have been listening to you for about a year. We love your show. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Tell him happy Thanksgiving for us.
Absolutely. He's right here listening. And, you know, Ben and Dr. Joel and Dr. Peter are some of my favorite guests.
Thank you.
And I've been dying to talk to you, Ben, about my father.
Okay.
He's battled cancer about 10 years ago, skin cancer. He survived. And he also recently has gotten over some AFib issues that he's battled
for
about 5 years.
How did he get over it?
Well, you know, he said something about some medication and a couple of jolts that they did times in a row. And then there was a medication that they put him on, and the AFib hasn't occurred since.
Did they give him an ablation, they called it?
You know, I'm more concerned that he's got moderate to severe COPD, and he's got aortic stenosis.
He's got one problem, sweetheart.
Yeah, so they won't do surgery, and my bigger issue is he takes a daily supplement that is similar to the Mighty 90, but not nearly the amounts that he needs. He's lost a lot of weight. And I've talked to him recently, he doesn't eat. He eats dinner, and that's it. He eats a lot of sugar, drinks mochas.
Jeez.
And I finally got his ear on supplements. And I'm trying to really target what exactly do I need to get him. You know, I know the Mighty 90 is important, but, you know, the quality of supplement, like I buy Purity products, you know, intermittent acid and the inflammation, and I take hyaluronic acid for my joints. Like, I'm trying to determine with COPD, with aortic stenosis, cancer, what do I need to target?
You're answering your own question. What do all those have in common? Aortic stenosis, COPD, atrial fibrillation. I forgot a couple other things you said. They all have one thing in common, the blood.
Yeah.
The blood. He has a blood problem. And again, how do things get into the blood? This is just common sense. This isn't medicine. I'm not talking anything science or medicine. It's just common sense. How do things get into the blood? Only one way, unless he's injecting it. It's getting in through food. So you answered your own question because you said that he's not paying attention to the food. So, you know, older folks sometimes are resistant to making changes. So you don't want to be too severe with the kind of strategies that you want to employ. So what you want to do is some simple things. Let him eat what he wants to eat. Make sure he's protecting his digestive tract using probiotics, good fermented foods. There's a wonderful book called The Art of Fermentation that talks, I guess, some great recipes, real easy to use. A real easy to understand strategies about probiotics and good bacteria. You know, almost every week we're learning more and more about the fundamental nature of probiotics. Do you know, George, that obesity and overeating are because our bacteria are telling us to eat in a large part? Our bacteria are making food choices for us, for better or worse. Our bacteria are telling us when to stop eating. This is the tight relationship between what's called the microbiome and our behaviors. So something as simple as eating fermented foods, sauerkraut, kimchi, and using probiotic supplements can make a dramatic difference. There's a very, very important relationship between the microbiome and the cardiovascular system as well. Also, using digestive enzymes can be helpful. The more nutritional supplements he uses that help him digest his food, the more readily the nutrients will be accessed, and the faster he's going to be full. So that by supporting digestive health, you don't have to get him on anything strict in terms of a diet, although that would be great. But if he doesn't want to do any of that, make sure you're using supplements that help his digestive system run more efficiently, and make sure he's using liquid nutritional supplements so that he can bypass any digestive issues and get the benefit of the nutrients rapidly.
Ben, you're a registered pharmacist. How does Big Pharma react to people like you pushing supplements and,
you know,
better foods and things like
it's
that?
It's changing, I have to tell you. My first job working for a department store, I actually got fired because I was recommending nutritional supplements, believe it or not. This was back in the late 1980s, and I was you were a health nut in the 1980s, and it wasn't really that popular. But I have to say, it's changing because the evidence is so voluminous. There's so much literature out now about the importance of vitamin D and the importance of the B complex. There's even prescription drugs now that are actually nutritional supplements. Of course, you pay 100 times more than you would if they were a nutritional supplement, but they're the B vitamins. They're using the B vitamins for your heart. They're using niacin for cholesterol. They're using essential fatty acids for cardiovascular disease. These are pharmaceutical strategies that are nothing more than nutritional supplements, and that's because the power of nutrition, the power of nutritional supplementation and dietary strategies is incontrovertible.
I'm hearing a lot these days about vitamin E, vitamin D. How come?
Vitamin D?
Yeah.
David? Man, oh man, is that, that's not a vitamin, George. They call it a vitamin.
They call it a vitamin.
They call it a vitamin because they didn't really understand it back when it was first discovered. It's a hormone. And remember I said earlier how there's two major classes of chemicals in the body, the enzymes and the hormones. Well, a vitamin is a substance that helps. It's a cofactor. It supports activity, usually the activity of an enzyme. Well, vitamin D is no mere cofactor. Vitamin D is a fully fledged hormone. Vitamin D gets its own little docking station on every one of the 100 trillion cells in our body, particularly the cells of the immune system and the cells of the digestive system, by the way. And not only that, but vitamin D has its own personal chaperone that carries it into the middle part of a cell, into the nucleus of the cell, into the very genetics of the cell, where it has an effect on, has a turning on the genes effect. And this is vitamin D that you actually make in response to the sun. How cool is that, George? Your body makes this stuff in response to the sun, and then this stuff upregulates your very genetics.
I love it.
That ain't no mere vitamin.
It's magic.
Yes, that's a good word for it.
What is your favorite all-time supplement?
That's a great question. All nutritionists have their favorite supplement. Mine is something called N-acetylcysteine.
What the heck is that?
NAC, N-A-C. The NAC is technically not one of the mighty 90 essential nutrients, but man, oh man, is that effective. And I discovered it in college. I discovered it in my with my first university degree because it's amazing for hangovers. In fact, you won't even get a hangover if you do enough of it and you do it ahead of time. And that's so important that it's actually used as emergency room medicine. It's kept in emergency rooms for people who have liver poisoning from Tylenol, from aspirin. When the liver becomes toxic, NAC is sent to the rescue by the body, but in emergency rooms, they'll actually inject it in you. And you can get the very same stuff. It's available as a nutritional supplement.
Well, what do you think of L-arginine?
Awesome supplement. Love L-arginine.
It helps dilate your vessels, doesn't it?
It dilates your blood vessels all over. If you get my drift here, George, it's very important for male sexual performance. It also stimulates growth hormone. It's also very important for diabetics.
But it's good for the heart vessels,
and
right?
It's important for the cardiovascular system. Wonderful. And in fact, it's said to be conditionally essential. You know, in nutrition, there's essential.
Hold on for a second, Ben. We'll talk more and take final phone calls. Wow, fast night on Coast to Coast AM. Lots going on for you, by the way. Next week, Ted Koppel is going to be my guest as we talk about the power grid. He supports what we're doing, and we support what he's doing to get the word out about that. Also, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will be joining us next week as well. Full details at coasttocoastam.com. And don't forget, we're going to be live tomorrow night on Thanksgiving. No tapes on the holidays. And we'll be there with a secret door. What is a secret door? I'm going to interview folks. I have to guess who they are. So they're all past guests. I have no idea who's coming through the door, but we're going to wing it and have some fun. But the live program for you on Thanksgiving night, okay? We're going to come back in a moment with Ben Fuchs. And welcome back to Coast with pharmacist Ben Fuchs. And his website is criticalhealthnews.com, toll-free number 1-855-949-7234. I love how you have that manned even through the holidays, Ben.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That's the most important time to have it, man, to tell you the truth.
Now, they're not doctors on the other end, but they will give people some information that will help them.
They will give people some very valuable information, especially product information.
Let's go to Jesse in Walnut, California here, final segment. Jesse, go ahead, sir.
Hello, Ben.
Hey, Jesse.
Hi, Jess.
I wanted to know, I was told by a very trustworthy man about this. It's called humicin. Humicin and fulvic acid. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes, of course. Those are minerals. Those are actually dirt. Basically, it's dirt. It's very interesting. Humus and humic materials, fulvic acid and such, are a class of minerals that are very easy for the body to process.
You get it out of clay?
Yes, clay, basically.
That's what I thought.
Right. And, you know, the latest theory about the origins of life are that life began in clay. I don't know if you heard this.
Yes.
And that's because of the electromagnetic properties of clay minerals. Clay minerals are incredibly, incredibly powerful. This, by the way, was one of Dr. Wallach's brilliant insights, was his understanding of the relationship of clays and minerals that are found in clays to human health. It turns out that these minerals that are found in clays are the kinds of minerals that the plants use. They actually were part of plants, and they're the residual, what's left behind as those plants die off. And they're, in essence, activated minerals, electrically activated minerals that not only are very, very valuable for the body, they're very, very bioavailable. They're very readily utilized by all of life, including human life. So fulvics and humus, humic materials and colloidal minerals and clays are incredibly nutritional, incredibly valuable, and they also, to boot, if you do them correctly, have wonderful detoxification properties.
I used to take a tablespoon a day of clay.
Smart. That, your mom might have taught you that. That's smart. Everybody would be wise to take a tablespoonful of clay every day.
How do you know if you're getting something from somebody reputable?
If you're getting, you know, if you find somebody who's reputable, keep them by your side.
Stick with them.
Yes, sir. That's exactly right.
The internet has been great for research these days, Ben, where people can self-diagnose themselves.
Right.
Not quite like doctors, but you can get pretty darn close, can't you?
You get a lot of good information. That's absolutely the case.
John is in Mississippi. Welcome to Coast. John, go ahead.
Hello. I just want to tell you about a couple things about this. I was listening about this lady. Her son has become like a psychiatrist, and he suffers from bad depression. Well, I volunteer with different organizations around my area, everywhere from military guys with PTSD to nursing home patients and people who suffer trauma. And I think depression is a bad trauma, and we all face depression in our lives at some point. But when it becomes too much for so long, good things to do. I want to give a few simple examples you could do to help yourself better. And that would be aerobic exercises, you know, like running, bike work.
Yep.
I would even say unorthodox stuff like video games. And a lot of people, they're apprehensive about it. But, you know, you distract your mind, and that could really work. Other things is like, if you can't take a vacation out somewhere, even go to like a park, because when you're in nature, that helps your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
That's absolutely true. And even walking barefoot, too, that's another good one.
Right. I never thought about that.
Yep, that's a good one. You connect up with the Earth's rhythms as you walk barefoot. That's a wonderful way. A lot of what you're saying are strategies for activating the parasympathetic nervous system, the relaxation nervous system. I'm telling you, we underestimate to our tremendous health detriment the importance of lightening up, of relaxing, of taking a chill pill, of sitting in a hot bath, and as you say, taking a vacation, playing video games, et cetera. These are all wonderful ways to access the body's healing response, and this just underscores how the divine force wants us to be relaxed. Yes, it's a good thing we have this sympathetic nervous system, this emergency nervous system to get us out of jams. That's a beautiful thing, but it's only supposed to kick in once in a while. There's a really neat book called Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers, and with that, the biologist who wrote the book talks about how in the wild, the sympathetic nervous system, the fight-or-flight response, kicks in, and then it's over. Only in humanity have we figured out how to maintain this low-grade level of sympathetic activation. And it's so tragic because something as simple as sitting in a hot bath can activate the relaxation response and turn that thing off. So your points are very, very well taken.
You ever walk barefoot in the rain? Great feeling, huh?
A great feeling. You have so many nerves on the bottom of your feet, and the earth is constantly sending out healing frequencies, healing rhythms, the Schumann resonance. Perhaps you've heard the Schumann resonance. These are a fundamental frequency that's coming out of the earth, and when we walk around barefoot, we have more access to that. There's also charges, electrical charges, that are coming out of the earth, and when we walk around barefoot, we have access to that as well. There's a really cool book called Earthing, E-A-R-T-H-I-N-G, Earthing, that talks all about this. And the guy wrote it, says it's the most important health discovery ever, and he has a point. Maybe.
Maybe, indeed. Conrad's in Albuquerque, New Mexico. There you go, Conrad. Go for it.
Hey, Conrad.
How you doing, Ben? How you doing, George?
Good, Conrad.
First
thank
time,
you.
First-time caller, long-time listener. I had a couple of questions. I was looking at a video on YouTube about drinking water and the pH levels that the water that we are drinking now, like bottled water, is very acidic for us, and it just depends on the pH level, you know, that, like, waters with higher alkaline are much better and healthier for us.
You know, I'm not convinced of that for a couple reasons. First of all, alkaline water is mineralized water for the most part, and that's the minerals probably have a beneficial effect. But when you drink the water, it goes into your stomach and it becomes acidic, so it's not going to stay alkaline very long. The trick to being alkaline is your blood has to be alkaline, not your digestive tract. So it's a question of getting the blood alkaline, not drinking it or eating it. How do you get your blood alkaline? It's as simple as O2 and blowing off CO2. Oxygen is alkaline. Carbon dioxide is acid. When you inhale, you're inhaling alkalinity. And when you're exhaling acidity. The way the body is designed to maintain its blood pH, and it's very tightly regulated, incredibly tightly regulated, at 7.38, 7.37, and you're not feeling so good. So it's super tightly regulated at 7.38, and it's designed to be alkaline by breathing, by oxygen in and carbon dioxide out. And by the way, when you do that, you do a bunch of other things as well. This is how elegant the body is. When you breathe correctly, not only are you alkalizing your blood, but you're improving your circulation, especially of the lymphatic system, so you're improving the elimination of toxicity as well as your deep breathing. So nothing beats deep breathing as a health tonic, and partially or even perhaps mostly because that's the way we're designed to be alkalinized.
What drives you, Ben? I know you like this. You enjoy it.
You know what it is, George? Sometimes I wonder, what is it that drives me? What drives me is when I talk to people and I can hear in their voice how thankful they are. And I talk to them 2 or 3 or 4 weeks later and I hear in the voice how their lives have changed. And, George, this is what makes us healthy, ultimately. We spent the last couple hours talking about nutrition, and we talked about mental strategies and emotional strategies. But the way I look at it, we're here to give. We're here to help each other. And I know when I stop and ask somebody for directions, or get out of my car to ask for directions, I notice how people can't wait to give you directions. It's like we want to help. We're designed to help. And it's not because it's altruistic and because it's good to do and because it's godly and it's because it's virtuous. It's because we feel better when we do it. That's what drives me. I don't have time to be sick. I don't have time to be laid up because I got people to help. And if we all take that attitude, who can I serve today? Who can I help today? Even if we are sick, we're going to feel better just by doing that, and that is what drives me.
Ben, what are you asking for directions for? Don't you know about GPS on your smartphone?
Nowadays, that's true. Now I have GPS, but occasionally, you know, in the past, before I had GPS, I would have to stop and ask for directions, and I was always amazed by how even the most unsavory-looking characters would be eager to help. Because you know what it is, George? When we feel in control, we're really willing to help. It's when we're scared that we're not willing to help. And that really is ultimately what it's all about. There's a primal duality in the world. It's fear and it's love. And when we talk about the stress nervous system, we're talking about the fear nervous system. And when we talk about the parasympathetic, the rest and digest nervous system, we're talking about the love nervous system. And in the Bible it says, you're either with me or against me. And from a biochemical perspective, you're either parasympathetic or you're sympathetic. So ultimately what it comes down to is feeling safe and feeling secure and feeling loved and feeling abundant so that you can be giving.
We go to Jacob in Columbus, Indiana. Hey, Jacob, go ahead, sir.
Hi, George.
Hi, Jake.
Hey,
Jake. Good to have you.
I got a question.
Okay.
I have these sinus headaches every once in a while. I also take the 90 for life in the Immortalium every day.
Okay.
By the way. And I've noticed here the last couple of days that when I've been taking Excedrin for my headaches, it doesn't really kick it as much anymore.
Okay, well, you're becoming tolerant to the Excedrin because your headache is actually a compensatory mechanism. It's the way your body is handling something. I'll tell you what it's handling here in a second.
It also sounds like a gluten issue.
I was about to say.
See what I've learned from you people?
You've gotten some good stuff, man. It's a way that the body is handling a quick surge of blood toxicity. What happens when the blood becomes toxic acutely in a quick surge is the blood vessels will open up really quickly, especially the small ones in the head. And that'll cause this kind of throbbing sensation, and then there'll be a reflexive shutting down of those blood vessels, and then you're going to experience your sinus headache. Now, you may not have that up and down, that opening and closing. You may just be having the opening. The opening and closing is associated with the migraine headaches. You may just be having a quick opening of the blood vessels, and you're feeling pressure inside your sinuses. It's a manifestation of an awakened defensive system. What you want to do is you want to backtrack it, as George says, to gluten or some other foods that you're eating. And this is where a food diary can be very helpful. Keep writing down everything you eat and then noticing when you flare up with your sinus headache or, if you like, noticing when you have digestive symptomology, cramping or bloating or constipation. Either way, linking your symptomology to something that's in your control, something that you're doing, and given the immune connection, the defensive connection, it probably has something to do with foods, and gluten is a likely suspect.
I got to tell you, Ben, some days I will just drink water, take my supplements, and really eat minimal food, if at all, for like 2 days.
How do you feel?
I don't get hungry, and I feel energized.
Isn't that amazing?
It's weird.
You know, there's a new drug out now for people who have insomnia or narcolepsy, and it's a drug that works with the wakefulness hormone. It's called orexin. And this wakefulness hormone is secreted in abundance when you don't eat. The less you eat, the more wakefulness hormone you produce. That's why we say,
well,
when somebody's ambitious, we say, they're really hungry.
I got to tell you, tomorrow as I gorge down my turkey, the tryptophan's going to hit me right before I go on the air, I bet.
Yeah, you're going to need a nap. You might want to take a nap before you go on.
Let's go to Amy in Oklahoma City. Hello, Amy. Go ahead.
Hey, Amy.
Amy? Amy is not with us, but let's go to Brad in Aliso Viejo, California. Hey Brad, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Good evening, Ben. Good evening, George.
Hi.
Tough situation here. My brother might be in end-stage liver failure. I'm freaked out. I don't think the doctors are going to allow much into his body because his kidneys might be failing also. It's diagnosed 3 years ago with liver issues. Was put on the organ transplant list at Cedars-Sinai Hospital about a year and a half ago. Came down with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, one surgery, 4 rounds of chemo. In the last 3 or 4 weeks, he's gone downhill and in the emergency room Monday, now out of critical, out of ICU, but just looking horrible. Jaundice, weak, no energy, frail. I'm a little freaked out, to be honest with you, as I'm sure you all would be too.
Was it cirrhosis originally, Brad?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, that's tragic. I'm really sorry. Look into intravenous alpha lipoic acid. I mean, is he serious? He wants to do something about it, you're saying?
I don't know if he does.
Okay.
But,
well, if you're interested, look into intravenous alpha lipoic acid.
What about milk thistle and stem cells?
I don't know if there's stem cells yet for the liver, but milk thistle is more for a long-term kind of thing. This guy sounds like he's got...
I think there are stem cells for the liver.
Are
now.
There stem cells for the liver now?
Yeah.
That would definitely be an avenue of approach. Be kind of pricey, but that would be something to think about.
Thank you.
Okay,
Appreciate
Brad. Good luck. Good luck indeed. I'm not for this Obama health plan at all. But we need to fix something else, and that is nobody should be turned away from any kind of medical assistance or operation because they don't have insurance.
It's profit gouging, though, or it's gouging. It's price gouging. There's no reason why this medicine has to be this expensive, George. They tell you about the research and the
like $700 for a pill. That's crazy.
It's crazy.
tens of thousands of dollars for a course of, for a shot, or hundreds of thousands of dollars for a course of therapy. This is unconscionable, absolutely unconscionable, and it's not necessary. There's plenty of money to be made. You can make all kinds of money. What Obamacare does is it entrenches this model. And that's, like you say, people have a right to health care. And when somebody has, if somebody's serious about taking care of themselves, they shouldn't have to make a price decision. However, at the end of the day, we want to take the position that we have control of our health. We don't need to be medicalized. And once it's an acute situation or dramatic, that's one thing. But we want to be taking care of this proactively, preventatively. You know, we have this notion that we're going to live forever, and I'm guilty of it myself, but the price is going to have to be paid eventually. So it behooves us, it makes sense to take action now before it's too late. Something as simple as getting on a supplement program, eating less food, getting on a rebounder, moving your body around, practicing slow, deep breathing, relaxing, lightening up, activating the parasympathetic nervous system by lightening up. There's not a lot of things that need to be done, but they need to be done. Otherwise, the chickens are going to come home to roost eventually.
They sure are. Ben, thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank
Have
you,
a George. Great Thanksgiving,
Happy
my friend.
Thanksgiving to you as well, my friend. Bye-bye.
Super guy, Ben Fuchs. I taped a Beyond Belief with him last month, and it'll be showing in the future, but he did a great job. BeyondBelief.com, you can watch that when that episode pops up. Again, his website, criticalhealthnews.com, toll-free number 1-855-949-RADIO. I'll be back in a moment as we talk about crop formations. That's next on Coast to Coast AM.